Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D. We have some exciting news. We now will be able to be heard on Stitcher, soon to be heard on iTunes, as always on our website, www.italianamericanlife.com. So a lot of exciting news. Today's show is about Frank Russo and the Russo Power Equipment. And I am fortunate to have here in the studio, my guests are the children and a grandson of Frank Russo. We have, in order of age, Ralph Silva, Frank, Tony, and Tony Jr., a grandson. Okay, thank you so much for being here today and welcome to the show. Your father, Frank Russo, anybody, let's start out with, where is he from in Italy?
Calabria, Rende, Calabria.
He's from Rende, Calabria. Okay, and Rende is a not a very small town.
In Italy, yeah.
Okay, near Cosenza, correct? Cosenza. Okay, and how old was he when he came here to the United States?
16, I believe.
He was 16. Did he come with his parents or did he come?
My grandfather was here working, and my uncle came, my uncle Ralph came after my grandfather came.
Correct.
And then I believe the two girls come? The two girls came with my grandmother.
Right.
And then my dad was one of the last ones to come here.
Oh, okay. Okay, so most of his family was here when he came.
For the most part.
Okay, so he came at 16, 17 years old.
Right.
Did he go to any kind of schooling here or not?
When he came here, he went to Coin Electrical School.
Really?
It was like a trade school.
Well, did he know the language?
He learned it.
He learned it. He had to learn right away if he was at a trade school.
And he didn't have an accent.
He never had an accent. Wow, incredible.
Like my mother, who is still alive.
Okay, tell me about your mother. Now, where is she from in Italy?
My mother is from Reggio Emilia, Italy, up northern part of Italy.
Okay.
They were married 45 years before my dad passed. He deceased about 19 years now.
19 years, okay.
And our mother remarried and married a wonderful man, Walter.
Okay, so they met here, obviously, in the United States. They met in the United States, your father and mother.
Yes, they met in the United States.
Okay.
My dad was driving a delivery truck, a beverage truck, and he was making a delivery to my mother's aunt, one of her aunts, and she was staying with her aunt. My father met my mother, and that's...
And love happened.
And love happened.
That's a great story.
So
okay.
They had a pizza place, Frank. And my mother's aunt had a pizza place, and my dad would stop there to get some pizza after work.
Oh, I see.
And my mother was helping my aunt. She was also here. And
how old was your mother when she came from Italy?
I think she was around 19.
She was young. Yeah.
About 19 years old? Okay.
Yeah,
okay, so they married pretty young, I'm assuming.
They fell in love, they married.
Beautiful. Yes.
Let me interject.
Yes.
Yeah. So nobody knows who's speaking.
Right. The first gentleman was Ralph. He is the oldest. Then Silva, the only daughter.
Mm-hmm.
This is Frank.
I'm Frank, and I'm going to throw a little side note.
Please do, Frank.
So my dad used to work at that time for, I believe it was Ralph Capone.
Havana Beverage.
Ralph Capone. The Capone I'm thinking of?
Or that is correct.
The obvious
brother
one.
Of.
So
brother
you're talking of. About Al's brother.
That is correct.
Wow.
And the only way... He was very good to the Italian people. He gave them jobs.
Is that right?
He was a Dago at the time. You know, no one wanted to give him.
So what years are this about? What year?
I don't know.
Is this around... When did your dad come from Italy? In the 60s, correct?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, 20, 30, 40. He was born in 1920.
Your father was born in 1920?
Yes.
Oh, and he was. Oh my God! I'm sorry. So you're talking about 1940?
1935, 1940.
Oh wow! I don't know why I was thinking it was much later.
Shortly thereafter, Frankie came here and he was drafted into the army.
Okay. Yes.
For his citizenship, he had to go to war overseas.
And this was.
WW2.
So your father comes from Italy in like 17 and ends up acquire citizenship, getting drafted and fighting for the United States.
And when he went in for his enlistment, they had told him, you know, that there may be a good chance you might have to go fight against your own because you elected or opted to be
a very good chance.
And my father said, I made this my choice to be my land. And that's
wow, that's sad
up.
Though. I mean, it happened to a lot of Italians, but it's very sad that you would fight your own.
He did land up in Germany.
Okay.
He was in the Battle of the Bulge.
Wow.
His dream was always to go back to the Rhine River, and that was one of my things on my bucket list that I wanted to see him go through, but He never made it. We were going to go to, and then.
So you're saying after he immigrates to the United States from Italy, within a couple of years, he's in the military fighting for the United States.
Right.
Wow.
He did his boot camp somewhere down south. I remember the name, Fort Bragg.
I got to tell you, that's
North Carolina.
In North Carolina, okay, young Tony adds to the show. I like that.
And he used to say mosquitoes. The mosquitoes were really bad.
But think about this now. You have a guy that came from another country, and within a couple of years is in the military, which even if it was in his own country would be difficult and a difficult transition. He's in the military for another country with another language. That wasn't easy.
Right, and it was, I believe it was a rough time in his life because my dad was not one to share his feelings, at least of, you know, fear and whatnot. He was your typical man.
Okay.
You know, callous all the time, but as he became older and he got sicker, he had basically brain tumor, that's what put him away, and they operated on his brain four different times physically where they opened it up, not like the modern technology of today. He became a little bit more fearful of his life, and he used to share some thoughts after recovery with me of sleeping in foxholes and being in a hole and saying in the morning he didn't even know if the guy that he was next to was going to be alive or dead. I mean, those are tragic.
You feel for these people, especially like, you know, somebody like me. I was never in the military, and I mean, I just,
young.
Very young, scared, foreign land. That's
when you hear from somebody like my father, who was always this tough guy image. You know, it was
I would assume that war tends to do that to most.
True.
I do remember my father's words, and I always hear them in my head. And he did say when he would always say to me, you know, I love that I'm an Italian. He said, but I came to America. He said, and I will do whatever I have to do to be an American.
Very honorable.
And he kept, you know, the culture. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, his Italian heritage in his family and everything, but he embraced America.
Well, that's obvious. Being in the military like that.
And he used to, he spoke nothing, you know, Italian in the home, but then when he went out, he was always, you know, he interacted very much so with all the people and so.
Okay, very interesting. Okay, now the million-dollar question. How does this man from Italy open up a hardware store? Just because, on the surface, not a typical business for an Italian immigrant to go into.
That would be correct.
Not at all. And from what I recall and what I remember him saying of this, he was the hands-on type of person. As I said, he had gone to this coin. I think it was called trade school, but it was known as an electrical school at the time. And he was always one to work with his hands. And he saw an opportunity having a store. And him and my uncle, his brother.
They weren't together.
They were in business for 26 years.
Okay, tell me, where did they open the store?
West side of Chicago, 4459 West Harrison Street, Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
It was a beautiful part of the city, very proud of it.
Was there a hardware store there? Or did they? Okay, so they just opened up.
They literally built the building from the ground up.
Okay.
It was a single building. It was 25 by 125 feet. And they added on a second building of 25 by 125 feet. And
Ralph, what year did they open this business?
Geez.
Anyone?
It was 26 years. And I was...
Give young Tony the math problem. He's in college.
Probably, what year did they open?
Did he open up the original hardware store with his brother?
It was after the war.
It was after the war, so...
If we've been in business for 46 or 47 years, when he closed that store, he was out of work. He went to work
for 2 years.
I worked. I went there as a kid.
So roughly it was around 49, 48, 50 that they opened the store.
Okay. And I said they closed somewhere around 1965 to 70.
Okay, so they were open around 18 to 20 years.
26 years.
Oh, 26 years there. Okay.
I remember that distinctly.
You worked there often because you were the oldest.
And I had no choice. Okay. I would go and wipe bank cans.
And you had mentioned to me a very significant story that happened there.
Well, they were there for
26
years. The neighborhood changed, and actually business had improved for them. And it was a good Friday afternoon. I got to say, I was a senior in high school at the time, and I was going there. And my dad was out in the back of the building, and my uncle was up in front of the store behind the counter. And I always used to hang out with my uncle, and these two men came in, and I didn't see it. I guess I wasn't paying attention. They took out a gun, and my uncle threw me on the ground, shot my uncle. My uncle said to me, go call my father. These men ran out of the store. I don't know if they came in for a holdup or to steal, whatever.
Did they catch them? They were never caught.
I had, they actually, detectives came to the house, and I remember not being able to recognize who they were.
Did your uncle survive?
My uncle survived, luckily, and what saved him was debris that he had in his pocket. He would always get pens and pocket protectors from salesmen. Before there were salesmen, who
pocket protectors, yes.
And glass cases.
Okay.
And
that's where he got shot?
Yeah, in the area of his heart. And the deflection of all the shot was, the buckshot or whatever it is, the pellets, scattered because of all this stuff in his chest pocket. He used to have a pocket that would probably protrude about 6 inches.
Wow.
Pocket protector, glass case.
So he kind of saved, possibly saved your life.
He did save
He saved your life.
Who knows? They were just shooting at random.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
how many shots did they shoot?
I wouldn't even remember. All I know is I looked up and all I saw was him holding his heart, over an area over his heart, and there was blood all over. That's all I remember.
That's an amazing story.
It was. It was a touching time in our life.
Now, did that help you guys to move?
Well, that's when
the
my
storm?
Uncle decided that he, after they, he lived, there was a little period of time that they thought it was going to be touch and go. He passed from an elderly age, but he still had strap metal in his body. But my uncle said he was never going back.
So he got out of the business.
He got out of the business, and my father had no choice but to end it right there, too.
Okay.
Let me interject here.
Yes,
this is the youngest brother, Tony. Probably the only time I'll speak on the podcast here.
And who was also a professor.
Who was a professor at DePaul University in Chicago, a fine institution.
They can have me tar and feathered. I'm an adjunct faculty at the university.
Okay, whatever that means. All right, good.
I just want to add a couple things. I was at that store on Good Friday, and I was 8 years old, I believe.
Okay,
so we can get a time. I think it was 1968, 1969, right around that time period. And so he might have saved Ralph's life, but he also saved my life as well.
Right,
Is that right?
Ralph threw me down a flight of stairs in the basement to protect me, and I do remember seeing the gunshots. And again, at that time period, there was a lot of social unrest in the country. There were marches. There was a lot of racial relations.
Martin Luther King.
Yeah, so now we're getting close. I don't know that.
Yeah,
we can find out.
Tony said yes.
A lot of heroes came out of that that particular day, but
rough part of,
that was very rough. Yeah. Yes. So now your father's alone, and he decided to get rid
of the store.
Okay.
And because of the economic times and the unrest, as Tony said, the social unrest, couldn't sell the business. They had tried selling it and didn't go. 68. In fact, they gave it away. They donated it to a church.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that was in 1968 when that happened. Okay.
They gave it to a church just to get, because the taxes, they had to continue paying real estate taxes. By donating that to them, it comes out.
Sure.
It was a big blow.
So now he closed the business is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
He's out of it.
They had no business.
Okay, so how does he...
That was a big blow. My uncle's children were already gone on. We were still... I was beginning my... going to be starting my freshman year at DePaul.
Okay.
And for my dad, he had four of us. And his goal in his life was for us to go to college.
That was important to him.
Our father had the equivalent of maybe second grade grammar school, as we were told. And regardless of what we did, we were going to college.
Okay.
Even if I was flunking out, which
right.
I almost was, but then I managed to get on course.
And can I interject something?
Absolutely. Silva.
Well, but here is what I think is the most remarkable thing about my father.
Yes.
And the play of his... Italian. He managed to put away money for all four of us to attend college. So when
that's great.
They closed the business, he said, you know, I don't think I'm going to be in business. He was in his 50s.
Okay.
He said, I don't think I'm going to be in business anymore. He went to work for an Ace Hardware.
A friend.
Oh, he went to work at an Ace Hardware. Okay.
He went to work for an Ace Hardware.
But he had the money to send all four of us to college.
But he said, but you will... all my children are going to, I'm going to make sure every single one of them goes to college.
That's great.
Now,
very great.
That was the day.
April 12, 1968 was the day of the shooting.
Yes, and I think Martin Luther King had been assassinated on April 4th.
It was about a week after.
Wow. There was a lot of unrest.
Okay,
there sure was.
We walked
turbulent
to the time store.
In Chicago.
Yes.
They closed off Cicero and Avenue and Harrison Street. I'll never forget that. And we had two dogs that were used for security. My dad wanted to go feed them. And we were living in Berwyn. And we walked from Berwyn to Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And people were.
Wow.
That's a long walk. The whites were rebelling. They were throwing rocks at the people and at the vehicles. Looting stores and they did not touch our father's store.
Tough times.
Yeah.
Definitely tough times. Okay, tell me about when he opens up he opens an Ace Hardware, correct?
He kept in touch with a lot of the salespeople that they had dealt with over the years. And there was this one man that he took a liking to, Leon Meyer. He used to work for a company by the name of Commercial Sales. And he would talk to him and tell him, keep your eye open. I'd like to get a little store for myself.
Okay.
And so he finds this store on the northwest side of Chicago, Montrose and Austin. And to make it real quick, he buys this business, and it was $60,000 or $65,000. The real estate and the building as well. Yeah.
Building and business.
So
was it a hardware store?
It was a hardware store.
Okay.
It was called Home Service Hardware.
Okay.
If I remember right.
So he wanted to get back into this. And
well, he wanted to get back into it, but he wanted to do something to keep his family together.
Okay.
And he really didn't like working for someone. He liked being a business owner.
Sure.
But he was a worker, though. Our father was a worker. He was not a...
And I think it's difficult when you've been in business for yourself to then go work for someone. That's a difficult transition, so...
This was a very small hardware store.
Okay.
It was... I'll tell you right now. It was a store that, as I told you, the numbers of what was bought. My mother, myself... because I'm the oldest, and my father, we worked there 7 days a week. I mean, and we worked.
It was a family business.
It was family, believe me.
Okay.
And then Frank Silva came in the beginning, but that wasn't her strength. She didn't want to be in there. She was, in college, and hardware stores weren't of interest to her.
Beauty pageants, whatnot. Sure, I understand.
Sure. And then Frank came along next, because as we go down in age, and then Tony.
And then Tony as well. Okay.
And my father's goal was to keep us there forever.
Well, okay.
Unfortunately, with the size of store that was there, there was barely enough room to make two families live out.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. This is the part where I'm a little confused. Okay, from opening the next location, was that after your father passed away that you opened Shiller Park?
Our next big move that we opened from there was Dakin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that was there. Our father was alive at the time.
He
was sickly, and he was opposed.
We can't get that song out of our heads, my God.
He was opposed because our father was a simple man, and he did not believe.
So when you bought Dakin, he was alive.
He was alive.
But he was opposed to it.
He was opposed to it.
Okay.
So let's backtrack just a little
bit. Yes, please.
I want to tell you, because it went from a hardware store to a...
Well, that's why I'm getting at this pace, because it's an incredible story.
So Ralph is at the store.
Yes.
He's working with my mother, who's sweeping.
Okay.
And an Italian landscaper came in and said, "Do you fix lawnmowers?"
Okay,
and
please tell this story. This is an important story.
Ralph was extremely mechanically inclined. Said, "Let me take a look at it. What's wrong?"
But our father did not want us to go into
that
business. He wanted strictly hardware.
Correct.
Okay.
So Ralph went back, fixed the guy's machine, brings the machine to the guy. The guy, he had fixed the machine. The guy was so happy that a machine was fixed. He told everybody, and another Italian landscaper came in.
So, an Italian landscaper comes in need of his equipment being fixed.
That's probably oversimplified, but there was this man that came in, and he was asking me if we sold replacement engines at the time. And I remember the man's name without mentioning. It was an Italian man.
Okay.
And, he was saying, "You should look into that." He goes, "There's a lot of these things that are sold, and..." I mean, here I'm lucky to fix a machine, let alone now sell an engine.
Wow.
The old
British strategy. Okay, so when this happened, and then these others started coming to you and saying, "Hey, can you fix my machine?" Did the light bulb go off and say, like, we may be onto something here?
But before we did that, we stuck our toe in the water with hand tools.
Right.
We're advancing the story way too fast. Our father pushed the idea of going into a franchise.
Okay.
It's true, because that's how it started.
Okay.
And so we were an independent store. We had no buying power. We were nothing. So my father he got us a franchise for Ace Hardware.
Okay, correct.
The advantage of becoming an Ace Hardware is that you have buying power. They offer a lot, but they give you the buying power. At the time, if I'm not mistaken, they had a base of 5,000 stores, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Frank, Tony?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And so back to the story with the landscape customer coming in the door. Yes, the repair was part of it, but the other thing was tools. Landscapers use rakes, quite a bit of rakes.
Sure.
Cleaning and whatnot. And so when he would come and try to ask me, why don't you sell these? You know, he says, I pay X amount of dollar for these things. And at the time, this landscape industry was not recognized as it is today. The biggest and the closest thing to it was golf courses.
And
that was an industry that was not for us. And it was only, you know, dominated by the elite, and there weren't that many of them.
Okay, so you had purchased this other land in Chicago on Dakin while your father was alive.
Yeah.
And then...
we bought the former Eli's Cheesecake property.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. Eli's Cheesecake is known throughout the whole world.
Prior to that, we bought buying buildings around our original store.
Right, okay.
This was
the
first big move out of there.
When you purchased and started the Schiller Park store, was your father alive?
No, he'd been deceased.
Okay.
Schiller Park.
So from that... Let's take the present day.
So we went from Chicago, which we still have, hardware, to Dakin, Irving Park, and Narragansett.
Correct, okay.
Schiller Park, Irving Park, and
25th
Avenue.
And then in Schiller Park, this was a very large store.
It was a huge...
You know, it said Russo Power Equipment. What kind of power equipment do you sell?
We supply landscape contractors, commercial users, associations. We sell power equipment such as grass cutting, maintenance, snow.
Okay, so from Schiller Park, what's the next new store?
From Schiller Park, we went to Naperville, is that correct?
To Naperville. Okay, right. So Naperville, Illinois, huge,
Naperville.
Huge
we
suburb.
We bought the property there, is, if not bigger, is bigger. Is
okay.
It? Am I correct?
And when did you start selling the salt? For
we had started dabbling in bag product.
But I mean, when it got big.
When we started doing bulk salt, Frank, do you remember?
More or less.
10 years ago?
Yeah,
no.
It was about 2007.
So about
we started handling it ourselves. We
yes.
were selling it
We were
before.
Selling it, but we were buying through a distributor. Now we are the distributor.
Okay, correct. So now you currently, let's talk today. Russo Power Equipment, you're in Naperville, Chicago. Schiller Park,
Frankfurt,
Hainesville,
and soon to be
Elgin. This would be the first show prior to the Elgin opening, I do believe.
That's correct.
Okay, that was exciting for me.
And the salt supply
is in Lamont, Illinois.
And there's an internet business.
And you have an internet business. So, from what I'm getting at is from Mr. Frank Russo.
Senior.
Coming from Calabria, Italy. And opening a hardware store, our present day, you have 5 locations, soon to be 6, internet sales.
250 employees.
250 employees.
Yes.
Your stuff is sold all over the country. That's a correct statement?
That would be correct.
Probably parts of the world, maybe, perhaps?
No, not yet?
No. Okay, sold all over the country. I got to assume the majority of the landscapers in the northern Illinois pretty much are...
We're a factor. In Illinois...
Dealing with you guys.
In the Midwest, I would even go as far.
So, do you ever think about your father and what he would think today of this situation?
He's spinning in his grave.
With a big smile.
He's smiling, but he didn't want us to be there.
Well, I don't, you know what though, in his defense, I don't think he ever could have envisioned something like this.
One of our father's many, many sayings was, don't let your eyes get bigger than your stomach.
He was a cautious,
extremely
old school, old timer immigrant, and like many. So, no, it's a
The beginning years, he wouldn't even allow us to have a line of credit.
Okay. Well, you know,
for your thinking,
right, right. But it's a wonderful story, a tremendous business. You do deal with many Italian customers.
Yeah.
Many Italian customers.
We first started at this with the in the landscape, but this industry was dominated by the Italians, at least in our part of the world.
Yes.
Frank, Tony, correct?
Yes, and correct. And still, to a certain extent, there's a lot, but not as
there
it wasn't.
Not
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
It's a mix of many. But
right.
The Italians at one time dominated.
Well, I tip my hat to you all. It's a tremendously successful business. More than that, though, you're tremendous people. And I'm so happy to have done this show, and I appreciate
before
it.
You close,
and, yes, I have one other thing as well. Go ahead.
No, let you finish.
Well, I was just going to ask, all four of you have been to Italy, correct?
Yes.
Has young Tony, the grandson, been to Italy? Okay, yes. Good. Anyone, tell me your thoughts about Italy. A story, an impression, anything. You've been there multiple times, everyone?
Yes, we have.
Okay. You've been not just to where your family's from, right? You've been to other areas?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody with a All story? Right.
So
Frank, please.
What I love about Italy, the culture, the history, certainly the history, and how could you not love the food from the northern parts of Italy all the way down to Calabria? The food is spectacular. Sicily, everywhere you go, one meal is better than the other. I don't know how other restaurants compete with Italian food. I just don't.
This is true.
It's almost unfair.
Yes. How about young Tony? Tell us something about you went to Italy for how many times you go? Once?
I've only been once, but when I was there, I was definitely taken aback by the beauty of the cathedrals that we went to, from the Duomo in Milan to the Sistine Chapel in Rome, just really unbelievably beautiful architecture.
And to think they did all that work pre-machinery.
Exactly, and the acoustics too. No microphones or anything like that in like St. Mark's Cathedral, but it sounded better than my church at home.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you. In parting, tell me, anyone wants to contact Russo Power, buy something, anything, how do we get a hold of Russo Power?
We've got
a line.
Silva, tell me. Yeah. RussoPower.com. And a phone number?
847-678-9525.
Okay, it's a wonderful family. And Ralph, please tell me one other thing.
He's looking for a girlfriend.
Yes.
You got any single women out there?
I think this is a very important part of the show and our culture, and also to our culture. Our father's probably most proudest moment is that we are still together and talking.
Well, absolutely. I like I said, he couldn't have envisioned what has become of this, a wonderfully successful business, a wonderful family. I'm glad that besides all the success, you all go to Italy, you brought your children to Italy. That's important.
And you're, behind every successful man, there is always a woman. And my mother...
Oh, I thought you meant you. I thought she was talking about you. So, wow, so she's plugging herself here.
You've been in real.
Many years.
Absolutely. Your mother was a huge part of it. Tell me your mother's
just
name.
As much.
We talked about Frank Russo. What's your mother's name?
Anna Marie Russo. She goes by Armanda.
And her maiden name is?
Pagani.
Okay. I know her. I'm fortunate to know her. Wonderful woman as well. And you are correct in that statement.
So
and a great cook.
And a great cook as well.
Cook.
I thank you all. Thank you all. And as we always do on the Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the quote of the show, our inspirational words to end this beautiful show. I don't know who said this, but there are only 2 days in the year that nothing can be done. One is called yesterday and the other is tomorrow. So today is the right day to love, believe, do, and mostly live. Thank you all for listening, and have a great Italian-American day.
Bravo, Mike.